be seated. So turning back to your bulletin, looking at these couple of passages. There was a pastor who was involved in a small group, and at the end of it, they would have a time of prayer where they would take requests and pray for one another. And if you had little children, then they were just there with you. And so when it came time to see if anyone had any needs, the pastor's little daughter chimed in, said, I do, please pray for me that I would be sweet to my mommy and daddy. And it was sort of an awe moment, you know, and the pastor's thinking, all right, you know, yeah, my daughter's sanctified and we're looking pretty good. And then she added, especially when daddy yells at me. Prayed that I would be sweet when daddy yells at me. Even from an early age, many of us can attest to the fact that navigating our relationship with our parents is not always easy, to put it mildly, because we're flawed people and because our parents are flawed. And we hurt them and they hurt us, sometimes tragically and unspeakably. But even the very best of parents, there are numerous ways that they have failed us. There was a magazine article I was reading recently, and it was talking about this relationship between a father and a son, and it sounded pretty ordinary. But it just said, Paul's dad is pushing him to go to medical school. But Paul doesn't want to become a doctor. He is interested in mechanical engineering and has been taking classes toward that degree. Despite Paul's lack of interest in medicine, his dad isn't letting up. Tension is growing. Do you or did you ever feel like that with your parents? Just tension is growing, and there's the friction and this tenseness and this conflict that's there. We can often think of that as during the teenage years, but it's not limited to that, right? It can be, it's not limited even to college or young adulthood or middle age. As long as your parents are alive, they're still your parents, and you're still their children. You are their child, even if you're not a child anymore. And in some ways, even after they've passed away, as we'll see. But so figuring out how to go about that fundamental relationship is absolutely key for your life and for mine, and for helping others in our congregation and others that we love, ministering to them on how to go about that. And to see that they and that you have got responsibilities toward your parents that lasts. They look different at different stages of our life. But what are those? And I want us to just take this evening and next Sunday evening to look at those, and then we're going to be done with our marriage and family according to the Bible. We'll be complete. We will have completed it, and we'll move on to something else. But so we're just going to look at two of them this evening. So we've looked at parents and picked on them for a little bit. Now we're going to talk about the children. So and the two responsibilities we'll see are a relationship of leaving and to develop a relationship of mercy. So first, a relationship of leaving. And this may sound familiar because we've looked at it from the perspective of the parents and what's their responsibility in raising their kids, but now from the other angle, from the child's perspective. Genesis 2:24, and Paul quotes it in the New Testament, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, and as the King James says, cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So what's the first thing, as someone grows up to be a man or woman, what's the first thing that a man shall do? Therefore, a man shall what? Right? Leave. It's not thou shalt stay with father and mother. It's thou shalt leave father and mother. Many of us, in order to marry a spouse, it says. But as we see later on in other places in Scripture, others of us leave our parents in order to live as a single adult. And Paul talks about singles. But either way, the point being that you're not allowed to live off of mommy and daddy eternally. That's the way that Scripture puts it. It says that the gist of it is that we're like beavers. What does that mean? Well, we've got a lot of those on the farm back in Mississippi, and my dad is very familiar with beaver dams, and he likes to do things to beaver dams that maybe I shouldn't tell you, or maybe I should. He's got his explosives license with the ATF, and it's amazing what you can do with a little Kenneth stick. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but I guess it's like an alternative to a stick of dynamite. It's a mixture of ammonia nitrate and diesel, something like diesel, and when you put those together, and you've got this little wire that goes to a detonator, and when you attach it to the battery of your truck, that beaver dam is gone. That beaver dam that's been causing your field to flood, it goes flying into the sky. If that offends you, then I'll talk to you about that later. Come talk to me. And I'll tell you what God means when he says to subdue and rule over the earth and have dominion. But as with my dad, and we're driving along the edge of the woods, and back way in the distance through the trees, you could see this big beaver hut. Not the beaver dam, but the hut where they live. And he was telling me how often it'll be a male and a female that live in there, and they'll have babies. But once those babies get to a certain age, the adult beavers make them leave the hut. And they can't just go build a hut like right by that one. They have to give them some space. They have to go build a dam somewhere else, right? They got to start their own dam community somewhere. And therefore, a beaver shall leave his father and mother and start its own dam living area. That's the way that they'll have enough resources and living space. That's the way they'll have enough food. And in the same way, God has created you and me that we would not live under our parents forever, but that we would grow up and get out, that we would leave geographically and economically, that we would move from being a financially dependent child to being a financially independent adult. You know, even unbelievers recognize this. Even our society, our civil laws see this. It's illegal to kick out your child, to not provide for them, kick them out of your house, and not take care of them if they're below 18. But you know, when they turn 18, then it's game on. I mean, you don't have to give them a penny. You don't have to provide. You can kick them out. Why is that? Because our society recognizes we're like beavers. That at some point, you're supposed to grow up and go build your own hut and go start your own living area. And even in broader culture, there's this remnant memory, I think, of God's original design, his pattern at creation. And yes, there are exceptions, and yes, there are hard times, but in general, that's the way he created us. So we're to leave geographically and economically, but then in a deeper way, We are to leave emotionally. And that some of us, as husbands or wives, as young adults, as middle-aged, we're still looking to our parents as our primary relationship. You know what I mean? Sort of the main confidant, advisor, counselor, and they're the one that we go to for every time we need emotional support. But God has not made us for that. Yes, they can be a resource. They should be. But there's some of us who haven't left emotionally. And how do you know? What does that look like? Well, when you run to mommy and daddy every time you have a problem, you know what I mean? That it's okay, mommy will fix it. That's what my James and David do. But it's one thing to do that when you're 4. It's another thing when you're 24 or when you're 54. But then also, this shows up in a lot of ways, and we're going to see this. We're going to look at this tonight. Do you live to please your parents? And I think some of us, if we're honest deep down, it's like the driving force of our life is, I don't want to disappoint mommy and daddy. That's deep. I mean, that we live. Do you see that in your life? We live to hear, son, you make me proud. There's something profound about that. For a son or for a daughter, that I've got to have that, and I can't stand to lose it, and I just can't stand it. And if I do have it, life has meaning, but what am I doing? I'm still being controlled by my parents. I have not left them emotionally because I'm still emotionally dependent on them, and that can wreak havoc on your life. When I was little, going to Jackson, Mississippi was a big deal. You know, it was going to the big city. I can remember, just because they have all these wonderful things there we don't have in Little Greenwood. They had an Olive Garden. I thought that was so cool. Like, that was a nice, you know, premier Italian restaurant. And they also had a Toys R Us. That was another big one. And do you remember their slogan? That I don't want to grow up, I'm a Toys R Us kid. That, you know, whatever we may say with our mouth, and even though we might know that it shouldn't be, I think functionally, that is, more than we'd like to admit it, that's the motto of our heart, of our life. And that we need to think about this. You know, what are the ways that you don't want to grow up? Or those whose in lives we need to minister, the ways that they're not wanting to grow up. But let's think about us for now. You know, they call it, there's a new word for it. It's not a new word, but I it's new to me hearing people use it like this. Adulting. Have you heard adulting, it's when you do grown-up stuff, like you're adulting if you're washing the clothes or something. In what ways do you not want to adult this week? You know, how are we failing to leave? So that's the first responsibility of children. And you may think, well, okay, I left my parents a long time ago. But if you really get what it's after in that deeper level, you can see it can still affect you, even long after your parents are gone. And we can see the dynamics, because that's, talking about that friction and that tension earlier, that's part of what can cause that and bring that conflict. But moving along quickly here, then to, secondly, a relationship of mercy. Paul, in Colossians 3:1-17, he talks about how, because you've been united to Jesus, That you've got a new ability, you've got a new power to live for Jesus. That because you love him, this is what that will look like practically. This is the kind of character that you will begin to develop in your life, is putting off these things and is putting on those things, putting off anger and malice and bitterness, and is putting on kindness and compassion and so forth. And he applies it to all these types of relationships you see at the bottom of the scripture sheet there. Husbands and wives and parents and children, employers, employees. What it looks like to really concretely live out the character of Jesus. But one of the things that he applies to all of them, more at the top, even to children and parents in verse 13, is bear with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Forgiving one another. What does that mean for our relationship? Not just with them, with anybody, but with our parents. You know, the fact is, many of us have been indescribably, grievously wronged by our parents. There's this story I remember of a church that was having a summer vacation Bible school, and they were going around their neighborhood and they were inviting people, just knocking on doors, inviting people to come. And they went to one guy's house and, "Sir, we're having VBS next week, and we're just wondering if you would like your son to come. We can even come and pick him up, if that would help." And he said, "No, I don't want my son going to that church. I don't want him going to any church. My dad made me go every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night, and he just forced his religion down my throat, made me sit there and listen to people talk about God. I'm not for that, and I won't do that to my kid." And he slammed the door in their face. Do you think that guy had daddy issues? You know? It was just oozing out of him. But not to be too hard on him, do you have daddy issues? Or put another way, what are the issues that we have with our parents? Psychologists love to ask this question. And maybe sometimes they can go too far with it, but it's an important thing to consider, because without even realizing it, we can, like him, we can be holding a grudge. We can be living in bitterness. And when we are, again, what is happening? We're still being controlled by our parents in another way. Now, not by trying to please them, but this is another form of, we haven't really gotten out from under them. We haven't really left them emotionally. Some of us, sounds like that guy, you felt like your parents were very religious. And they were so strict and overly zealous, and they it felt oppressive and prideful and judgmental, and it was unattractive, and they were trying to help, but it felt like it hurt. Or others of us, we didn't feel like they were religious enough. And you're mad that they didn't show you Jesus and tell you about him and read the Bible with you and pray with you. There are 1,000 ways. I mean, the things that you can look back and remember, the cutting, hateful words, even by good parents, even by overwhelmingly great parents, the moments where there were those stinging words that you remember that they said to you. And that sticks with you. And, you know, it just gets imprinted on your memory, it gets engraved on your soul, and maybe you don't even recognize it, but you're angry. And we can, unconsciously, it can affect even the way that you parent. Because, you know, we overreact. And we go, we want to do the opposite of what happened to us. And what are you doing? You're still living in the shadow of your parents. It's unhealthy for your soul because we are meant to forgive. One of my old pastors, his name was Ricky Jones, and he was talking about this, and he put it this way. The gospel begins to free you from your anger toward your parents when you see them as human beings. Yeah, guess what, children? Your parents are messing you up. They're breaking you. They're sinners, and they're doing everything wrong. And they have messed you up. And one of these days, you're going to get married, and you're going to have children, and you're going to mess them up. And the gospel allows you to see your parents as humans and love them as humans and free yourself from the anger you have toward them, which will ultimately free you from following their example. You get what he's saying? Why is it, though, that we're so controlled by our parents? When we're young, we look to them for our sense of security and approval and love. It's just a fact. I mean, numerous psychological studies have shown this. But if over time you're still looking to them for that, one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to be that person who's like attached at the hip to your parents, and you're maybe the end all be all of your life is to please them. And maybe you're copying everything they do. You're following in their footsteps. Or you're going to be furious with them. And your relationship's going to be unresolved, and you're going to want to do the opposite of all they do. But either way, you're living in the shadow of your parents. And you have not left. And you're being controlled by their smile. Or lack thereof. Some of us, it's like we'll do anything to get that. We're practically killing ourselves trying to get that. There's a Christian man who's very successful in his career, and he was given a speech where he was very candid, talking about his need to excel and to pursue greatness in his work. And he said, I go into my office to start my day at 7:15 a.m. every morning. The reason I go in at 7:15 is I am showing my daddy how hard a worker I am. My dad has been dead for 12 years. That is the power that our parents have over us. That it's like there's something in us that we just need that. We need them to look at us and say, well done. Good job. I approve. I love you. And you live for that. You live to please them. But on the other hand, if they don't give it to you, If you had bad parents or those who've hurt you, then you're going to live your life with an underlying resentment because they're not giving what your soul needs, right? They're not giving you what they were supposed to be, right? They're supposed to be my love, my protector, my caregiver, and my sense of value and acceptance. And my self-image, and they're not. They didn't. And we're angry. And it can rule over us. So what do we do? Well, Paul, is he Colossians 3, he launches into this lifestyle of the Christian and what it looks like in all these relationships, including children and parents. And right there in verse 17, it's sort of an umbrella statement over all the relationships. He says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Okay, in everything you do, and then he starts to go into whether it's wives to your husbands, employees to your employers, but for our purposes here, he mentions as children to your parents, you need to do it, but the only way you're going to be able to do this is as you're giving thanks to God as your Father. That before that you can learn how to relate to your earthly parents, it's all built on knowing and worshiping God as your ultimate parent. Let me just close with this. I've thought a lot about this now that my son has started to play soccer and t-ball, but there's this father who was once telling the story of his son who played baseball when he was little, and let's just say he did not have that gift. He stunk majorly. He was not good, and he'd be sitting there during the game praying, you know, God, you've let everybody else's kid get a hit, and his would be striking out, and it was hard, and he just didn't have that gene. So that night, he was tucking him in. He was on the top bunk, and he kind of leaned over and got in close and said, hey, buddy, can I tell you a secret? And he said, yeah. Okay, but you got to make sure you can't tell anybody, just between me and you. Okay. I kind of like it when you strike out. What? Yeah, because then you know that when I tell you I'm proud of you, that I love you just because you're my son. It's not because you get hits. It's not because you do it right. I don't care about that junk. That I am proud of you because you're my son. See, if you had a father who not just once, not just glimpses, but who consistently, who always, and even who perfectly expressed that kind of unconditional love to you, do you think you'd have daddy issues? I mean, if you had that kind of parent, well, the point is you have. That's what Paul is saying, that you have, that if you are a Christian, that you've been adopted into the family of God through him, he says, through Jesus, that the one who got kicked out of God's family so you could be brought in, so that you could be made his beloved child, so that even when you strike out in life and fail and fall flat on your face, even when you don't do it right, that he is a God who dotes over you. He is a God who says, I'm proud of you because you're my son. Because you are my daughter. That you make me happy, that you fill my heart with joy to the degree that we are experiencing God, not just as the judge and as the king, but as your father, as you're in awe of him and worshiping, and as he says, giving thanks to him who's been gracious to you, you can forgive your parents their weaknesses. That you don't have to live to please them. You don't have to live in bitterness when they don't give you what you need and that approval and that value. You're not getting your self-image from them. You've already got it in Jesus and in the Father's love. You don't have to make your parents happy because you've got the one, the true parent who looks down at you and says, you are my beloved daughter. You're my beloved son. With you, I am well pleased. Do you know God as your father? That's a unique type of relationship with the living God. That is not something that we're born with. It's something that comes by faith. Have you ever experienced God? God whispering that kind of love to you? Because if you haven't, run to Jesus, and you can find it in Him. If you have, run to Jesus. Run to your Father. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do praise you that we can call you that, and that that is not just a throwaway phrase, but it is our very salvation. It is the most central and wonderful and profound truth of our entire lives. God, we ask that you would help us to grow deeper and deeper into our sonship, and into our adoption as your sons and daughters, and into that love that will never let us go. And that as we are satisfied there, that would affect, yes, those of us who still have parents that we are relating to, that would ooze out in our interactions with them, but not only with them, in our marriages, in our friendships, in our relationships in the body of Christ, that would be evident. To your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.